NetCredit is here to say yes to a personal loan or line of credit when other lenders say no. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. If approved, applications are typically funded the next business day or sooner. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partner. NetCredit. Credit to the people.
Mientras crecíamos, vimos a nuestros papás siempre ordenando la casa. Now that we have our own, entendemos la importancia de mantener una casa limpia y ordenada. One that makes you proud. Por eso puedes contar con IKEA. IKEA knows that having a place for everything makes it much easier to maintain a happy home and your peace of mind. When you shop at IKEA, cada dólar rinde más. Visit your nearest IKEA store to find the best storage solutions para tu hogar.
Have a question or need how-to advice? Just ask Meta AI. Whether you need to summarize your class notes or want to create a recipe with the ingredients you already have in your fridge, Meta AI has the answers. You can also research topics, explore interests, and so much more. It's the most advanced AI at your fingertips. Expand your world with Meta AI. Now on Instagram, WhatsApp, Facebook, and Messenger.
Welcome into On Texas Football. I'm Bobby Burton, your host, joined by Jerry Hamilton of On Texas Football. Jerry, a lot going on in the last 24 hours. Longhorns did not have a good Friday. We left the air, and at that time, Josiah Sharma, big defensive lineman out of Folsom, California, had committed to Oregon. About an hour and a half later, Myron Charles, another big target on the interior of the defensive line, committed to Florida State after Texas, giving Texas some very positive signals at one point during the process. However, I think both of those guys kind of thought about playing together at Texas, and when Sharma picked Oregon, Charles kind of reverted back and went the other way. What's going on there? Is this a sign of concern for Texas at defensive line? You and I talked about a little bit. Longhorns only brought in 5 official visitors at defensive line. Now, they tried to bring in 6 with Zion Williams, but he canceled that on them. Is this a sign of a difficulty at defensive line recruiting? Right now, 3 guys have committed. Of the 5 that came in, 3 have committed elsewhere. Yeah, that leaves DJ Sanders out of Belleville and Brandon Brown out of Ogallala, Florida, in the mix. What are your thoughts on D-line recruiting? And then we'll get into some other stuff that's breaking over in Louisiana right now as well.
Yeah, I think you'd like to see Texas take more shots on goal, whether that was Chase Sims, Darry Norris, who looks like he's Georgia Tech. Chase Sims, we'll see. More shots on goal possibly. But I'll say this, I think Kevin Wynn and Myron Charles were longstanding relationships with Odell Higgins, right? I can tell you this, earlier in the week, FSU was very concerned about Myron Charles going to Texas. That was a legitimate concern. Obviously they had to step up there. And then with Sharma committing to Oregon, I do think that hurt Texas a little bit with Charles as well. Because those two guys were pictured together so many times on the official visits. So I think when Sharma went with Oregon, that definitely hurt Texas with Charles. But, now more pressure to hold on to Brandon Brown. We'll see which way that goes with LSU. I think in a week or two, we'll know Brandon Brown's final decision. DJ Sanders still out there, obviously. Consider the Texas lean to over Michigan right now. And then, look, I think the senior evaluations are going to be big here for Texas. They're going to have to go back on senior evaluations on some guys, unless they're just going to go to a portal like they did last year. But last year is a difference because had Bo Davis not left, they had DeAndre Robinson. They had 3 high school guys committed. So after that move happened, you lost 1 high school guy. Then you lost Jamari Caldwell, your transfer, you're probably leading Oregon for at the time. So you had a lot of ground to make up in a little time. You have a little more time in this class with Kenny Baker, who now gets to make some senior year evaluations and look, he's getting ahead in the 26 class. I think you'll see Texas take more shots on goal in the 26 class than 25, but 25's in a bit of a crunch right now. There's no doubt about it. I mean, if Brandon Brown flips to LSU, then you're up against it on the high school defensive line recruiting standpoint, which probably means you're going to go heavy portal again.
Yeah. And you know, that's my question. Where you think maybe Texas went wrong on not taking enough shots on goal, but isn't part of the problem the state of Texas itself just didn't produce enough? I mean, the one other guy besides DJ Sanders they clearly wanted in the state, at least at this point, was Zion Williams. He had a pre-existing relationship with LSU. It was always going to be tough with LSU. His girlfriend's going to LSU. So there's all these compounding factors. Is it part of the problem that maybe Texas, just what the state, didn't produce enough high-end defensive tackles this year? And so it's kind of this conundrum that Steve Sarkisian and Brandon Harris and those guys get stuck with as a result?
Well, that'll be interesting to see. That almost has to play out for 2 or 3 years because because Shane Reams at A&M, Chase Sims may end up at A&M, Dylan Battle's probably going to end up at LSU. So they're guys that A&M and LSU thought were good enough. And Mike Elko, Bo Davis, pretty good track records defensively too. So we'll have to see on that. That has to play out. So I think the bigger body guys may be the answer. Like the 6'4", 290-pound guys that can be 320, 330. I think the state had one of those guys in Zion Williams and DJ Sanders, but Zion Williams from that pure big SEC body type. I think the state had one of those guys in this class. So I think Texas was forced to go out of state to look for those body types and those frame type of individuals. And the problem isn't next year's class. I think it's going to be the same. So you're going to have to go out of state. But I think if you're going to go out of state and play in that sandbox, you got to put a lot – there's got to be a lot of people in that sandbox to choose from and maybe not choose from but win out for. I really think you have to get 8 out-of-state guys to get 2.
And you know, that's probably legitimate. And Kenny Baker getting a late start, no issue of his own. Bo Davis moving over to LSU certainly caused a wrinkle in that. Situation, but we'll see how it goes. I think defensive line recruiting right now, we got to watch for it. DJ Sanders, we believe, expected to make a decision in the next week to 10 days, maybe as soon as this coming week. So that'll certainly be a big one for the Longhorns, a young man out of Belleville. And then Brandon Brown, you said a week to 14 days, so a week or two. All right, I'm looking at some other things. We also want to talk about some other news that's going around. Jerry, first of all, let's talk about Aiden Anding. Mm-hmm. Because what happened late last night, people went to bed and didn't read it. But Aiden Anding, a young man from Ruston, Louisiana, got a scholarship offer at the 11th hour from LSU. Now, fast forward 24 hours, and LSU looks like it is in serious in consideration right now for Aiden Anding. He had told you he was going to wait until Monday to make a decision after saying it would be over the weekend. I mean, look, there are people now saying, hey, he's probably destined for LSU. What are your thoughts on this situation? Is this just a situation where we got to realize, hey, when you go out of state, these things can happen?
No, they can happen. And it's interesting. I mean, LSU waited till the 11th hour, and I think they waited. They didn't wait too long to win the recruitment. They waited too long from an evaluation standpoint. That's a kid that they should have offered way a long time ago. It wouldn't shock me if he's not a better player than Jabari Antoine long-term. So LSU finally, I think, wised up and offered the kid. But, you know, look, if he pushes the date from early July, if that stays kind of – he pushes that date back to late July, early August, obviously he'll go to LSU after the dead period. And if that happens, it's over. It's over. If he doesn't commit, I would say this week to Texas, and if he's just waiting for the one visit to LSU in late July, you're toast in that recruitment. That's going to be pretty obvious. So if that's what happens, if that how this does play out, and that's what LSU's pushing for him, don't commit, come down here in late July, give us a shot, then this deal's over. That's going to look really good for LSU at that point. Now, the flip side to that, Bobby, is – what made LSU offer Aiden Anding? Is it because one of their other targets, being Cade Phillips, is a lean to Texas? Quite possibly. Now, a lot of people are linking it to Jabari Antoine, but I think it has maybe more to do with Cade Phillips and Antoine than it does just one of them.
That makes sense. So Cade Phillips out there, young man from Fort Bend Hightower, safety corner that Texas really likes. So everybody really likes, actually. And so that he's expected to make his decision here in the next, I think he's July 6th.
July 6th.
Yeah. So that makes sense. What about the other guys that Texas are recruiting in state at that position? Nathan Tillman is a big one out of Mansfield. Timberview, a 10 guy that runs 10-7 as a safety. Texas had him in. He decommitted from SMU. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, I think with Tristan Castro, I don't think Texas is going to make a push there. The corner that's committed to USC out of Upland, California. And then you have Nathan Tillman, which you mentioned, that safety. That decommitment, that means it's going to be Texas, Utah, or TCU. That commitment or announcement should be happening soon. I think Texas has felt pretty good about that, but you got to get it to the finish line publicly.
Boy, that's understatement of the week right now. Got to get it to the finish line publicly because we go back and Sharma told folks, Josiah Sharma, the big defensive lineman, told folks on Thursday night,
going
to Texas, multiple teams and reporters
around Folsom, and people around Folsom, and early in the week, FSU thought they had lost Myron Charles to Texas.
Yep, got to get it to the finish line. Got to get it to the finish line. All right, talk about wide receiver, because one of the other pieces of news that I know you got, but I don't know that it got the attention it perhaps deserved, was DeCorian Moore, the young man out of Duncanville that is the state's top number one ranked prospect at any position right now. He's expected to make a decision. Texas is involved. Oregon is involved. There's that team again, as well as Ohio State and others. Where is that going right now? I mean, I know we've liked Texas' position here, but you think there's been some movement on timeline at this point?
Yeah, I think that's quite possible. Speaking with somebody close to that recruitment, I think there's a chance that this decision's announced in July and not August. Last year, Colin Simmons announced around August 7th, August 8th, right around the beginning of practice, around the beginning of school at Duncanville, a few days before that. I believe that there's a good chance DeCorian Moore may announce something in July. Now, I'm not saying early July, but in July. So could that be a week earlier? Could that be 2 weeks earlier? I think that's key, though, because Kalik Lockett is August 7th. Jamie French is August 30th. And I do think Texas remains in a pretty good position over Oregon with LSU and Ohio State, the 3rd and 14th.
All right. I got to ask you about another position here, because it's one that actually two more positions. It's ones that we've been kind of monitoring closely, okay? And that is linebacker and offensive line. It looks like there's three linebackers left on the board. Riley Pettijohn out of McKinney, Jonathan Cunningham out of North Crowley, and Madden Faramo out of California. And then on the offensive line, three similar guys, all tackles, Nick Brooks, Michael Fasusi, Lamont Rogers. What's going on with those two? And then I want to finish with Smith Orogbo before we bow out on this one, this kind of recruiting reset.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on.
Crunch Island. It's John LeFoot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last Crunch Berry.
No!
No one steals my Crunch Berries.
I think you mean my Crunch Berries. Choose your own Crunch Venture with Cap'n Crunch.
Have a question or need how-to advice? Just ask Meta AI. Whether you need to summarize your class notes or want to create a recipe with the ingredients you already have in your fridge, Meta AI has the answers. You can also research topics, explore interests, and so much more. It's the most advanced AI at your fingertips. Expand your world with Meta AI. Now on Instagram, WhatsApp, Facebook, and Messenger.
Meet Kara,
Kara's thing is perfectly juggling her family's packed schedule.
Monday soccer, Tuesday haircuts, Wednesday birthday party.
She doesn't have a whole lot of spare time, so she shops at Walmart for all of her over-the-counter medications.
Thursday swimming, Friday groceries.
That way, she can help keep her family healthy and on track without having to make an extra stop or spend a lot on health and wellness essentials.
Saturday, fill the medicine cabinet. Sunday, massage for me.
Yeah, you've earned that. Welcome to your one-stop shop. Welcome to your Walmart.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Doing.
I think Manframo had a great, not good visit, great visit to Texas. I think Notre Dame is probably saying you and Elijah Barnes play the same position. So to come do that at Notre Dame and not at Texas. I think from the Texas side is they're saying you guys can play together in this scheme. I think that'll be interesting to see how it plays out. Notre Dame was a big leader for a long time there. I think Texas closed the gap. Riley Petterjohn, does he think that – him and Elijah Barnes are too close to one another? That's a legitimate question. Could that help Ohio State? I think Ohio State, A&M, I know people are still throwing USC out there. I'll believe that when I see it. Ohio State, Texas, maybe Texas A&M. So do him and Barnes, because they're the two best linebackers in the state, does maybe they don't go to the same school together because of that? We'll see. Jonathan Cunningham, Utah, TCU, Texas. I think that one comes down to this. Does Jonathan Cunningham believe that he can get on the field earlier somewhere else? If he does, that's going to pose an issue for Texas. If he's into Texas for the development, the time it may take him to develop, maybe he doesn't see the field as early at Texas. And I'm not saying 2 years. I'm just saying year one. If he doesn't see the field as early at Texas, or he can't see that, versus a TCU, versus a Utah, that could be the issue for Texas. I think Jonathan Cunningham really likes the idea of playing at Texas, but does he see himself playing early as he wants to at Texas? That's what the Horn staff is going to have to battle there at linebacker with Jonathan Cunningham.
All right. What about the offensive line? I mentioned the three. Texas has four commitments right now. You know, as we've talked about it, they got a commitment from Mills out of San Francisco early last week on Monday. They've already had three, Jordan and Devin Coleman, and then they also had Jackson Christian out of Port Neches Groves. That's four, and it looks like they got three guys right now left on the board, waiting to see exactly what transpires there. What are you thinking?
Yeah, I think Texas may be in the best position for Nick Brooks right now out of Iowa. We'll see. That's a Georgia-Texas battle for one of the top linemen in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, which you don't see that very often in recruiting, right? So that's not going to be until late August or even September decision. That one the weighs off, kind of like Brandon Baker. That one's going to take some time. Then you have Michael Fasusi, who's expected to announce in late August. You know, there's some aspects of Oklahoma I think he likes better than Texas, and I think there's some aspects of Texas he likes better than Oklahoma. Which way will it go? One of his really good friends committed to Oklahoma as a preferred walk-on this week. Does Oklahoma do a good enough job convincing him that he can come in and compete as a true freshman at left tackle, which I think may be asking a lot for the Sooners? That, I think that's going to be the question there. I think Michael Fasusi really likes the resume development and relationship with Kyle Flood at Texas. So be interested to see which way that goes. Lamont Rogers.
Hey, I've got to ask you about this. I've got to ask one thing on Fasusi. I saw where one of his best friends in childhood actually committed to Oklahoma as a preferred walk-on.
Yep.
Early Oklahoma trying to work every angle there. Is that going to play a factor, you think? Is that one of the reasons why you think Fasusi may like some of the off-field things at Oklahoma?
No, but Texas offered him as a PWO as well, so which is interesting, right? So he chose Oklahoma. But I think, just from what I was told, Fasusi may have had more fun in Norman outside of football. Now, I don't know if that's what he makes his decision on. There's a lot of things that go into this. I think Kyle Flood will have Texas right there. With that decision being late August, as long as it stays on that timeline, it'll be interesting to see what happens. But I think that's still a battle. Lamont Rogers, total wild card recruitment for me. He loves the offensive line coach at Missouri. His father made a couple of official visits. He lives in Vicksburg, Mississippi. The mom lives in Mesquite, obviously. She didn't make all the official visits. So the colleges are kind of wondering, like all of us, is, okay, there's not a lot of consistencies with the visit, so you're kind of left wondering. We think Texas had a great visit with Lamont Rogers. He's going to be the first guy off the board, but did they have a good enough visit to eclipse Missouri, who he really likes, the OL coach, Oklahoma, Florida State, which is close to Vicksburg, closest to Vicksburg, Mississippi now, then A&M, where his dad did make that official visit. So there's some things working in that recruitment that makes it a bit of a wild card. We do think Texas has a chance at Lamont Rogers. Are they going to win it? We can't say that.
Yeah, interesting. All right, the last one I want to talk about at length kind of is Smith Irogbo.
Yep.
He is expected to make a decision on Monday. Yes. After visiting not only Texas, but Texas Tech, Oklahoma, Washington. Jerry, you know, Texas, it seems, has kind of ebbed and flowed in this recruitment. At one point, I thought Texas, early on, Texas was really out in front. Then some other schools kind of got in there. And then of late, it seems like Texas has surged again. What is the latest on Smith Irogbo, young defensive end out of Alys Hastings, that is, I got to be honest, one of my personally favorite recruits?
Yeah, he has some of the highest upside. I mean, he's one of those few – he's a high-end edge rush prospect. There just aren't a lot of those guys with that type of twitch and length. So he's got a lot going for him there. He has a Final Four of Texas, Washington, Oklahoma, Texas Tech. There were some picks for Texas Tech coming off the visit. I don't know on that at this point. I think Texas Tech had faded for a while. Can they get back into the picture? I think Texas has at least a 50-50 shot at this, headed in July 1st, but that was entering the weekend. We'll see where that's at come Monday. But I think Texas has done a good job late in this recruitment since the official visit. I think Washington's a school he likes, but it may be too far from home at the end of the day, unless he just wants to do something totally different. I know his parents would prefer closer to home, but it's all academics and no football with them. They don't really care about the football piece. They care about the academic piece. So it'll be interesting to see which way it goes. I do know that Texas and Smith have had some really positive conversations in the last 48 hours, but there's still a long way till Monday till he decides. Yeah, in recruiting, there's a long time.
I said I didn't want to. That was going to be it, but I fibbed a little bit here, I want to make sure. Nick Townsend still scheduled for July 10th. Is that correct? The tight end out of Spring Dukaney.
Yes. Yeah, or July 8th. That keeps going back and forth as to when he's going to actually announce. Could be the 8th, could be the 10th. Him and Tua Hines, the receiver, will announce the same day. We continue to hear positives on Texas and Nick Townsend. I don't think USC's given up. I don't think A&M's given up.
Okay, the next one I had a question for you on was actually a little bit different. It's what is going on from a recruiting perspective, in addition to DK Moore, DeCorey Moore, wide receiver. And that, I think Jamie French, Texas, still very strong position there from a young man out of Jacksonville, Florida. What about after that? Who are the other ones that they're really after and trying to go hard on? Because unlike defensive line, where Texas didn't bring that many defensive tackles in for official visits, they did bring in a number of wide receivers. What's going on after Moore and after French, and maybe is Kalik Lockett? What's all going on there?
Yeah, I think Kalik Lockett for sure. And then I think Texas has to make a decision pretty quick on Kelshon Johnson, who's probably A&M lean over Texas. I think Mike Elko is just trying to beat down that door as much as possible. And then there's also Tanook Hines and Daylon McCutcheon out of Lovejoy. So those are the guys that are really on the board. I don't see Andrew Marsh being part of the conversation at this point. Could it change? Maybe. But I think Kelshon Johnson decides here in the next week. So if Texas is going to make a final push, it's got to be soon. I think Tanook Hines obviously may announce July 8th. If Texas is going to make a final push, it's got to be soon, else it's probably Notre Dame or over USC. And then you have Dale McCutcheon, who visited FSU the last weekend. He's been to Ohio State, Texas, FSU. which way would that go? Does Ohio State make a push late if Vernell Brown or some or DeCorian Moore? They don't think they're getting DeCorian Moore. Vernell Brown may stay and go to Florida and be a legacy recruit. He's a stud. Does Ohio State come into play for McCutchen more? I think McCutchen's recruitment's interesting. You know Florida State's all in. You wonder where Ohio State and Texas are.
Got it. Okay. All right. I think that's going to do it. We've got an interesting last 24 hours, Jerry, in recruiting. It was not good in one stance at defensive tackle, but Texas is going to rebound. Sark has proven over time that he's not a guy that just sits back and lets things happen to him. So I'm sure we can see a response at some level. What will it be? We'll be here to try to follow that and track that for you at On Texas Football. Jerry, I'll see you tomorrow at this SEC.
It's going to be awesome. Can't wait.
Yeah, we should also have some other stuff coming for you on Sunday as well, including some recruiting updates. For Jerry Hamilton, I'm Bobby Burton. Please visit us at ontexasfootball.com. In the meantime, this will do it for today's update, the recruiting reset. I'm Bobby. Jerry, have a good one, buddy. Hook 'em.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. He's John LaFoot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last Crunch Berry.
No!
No one steals my Crunch Berries.
I think you mean my Crunch Berries. Choose your own Crunch Venture with Cap'n Crunch.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.